This is Jeff Carmack reporting on Arts and Cultural Heritage for KVSC Radio. And about 40 years ago, Jack Kerouac once wrote in the book Big Sur about the hypnotic voice of the ocean as the waves crashed on the shoreline. The same can be said for the not-so-chaotic pulse of the highways and byways of our interstate system. Running through the heart of central Minnesota, we've got Interstate 94. This northernmost portion of the interstate system connects us with Minneapolis-St. Paul, Madison, Wisconsin, Milwaukee, Chicago, and Detroit. And also heads out west, eventually coming to an end and joining with Interstate 90 out in Montana. If our human culture can be looked at as a larger organism, then the interstate system can be certainly looked at as veins and arteries, bringing people and material all around the country in order for this organism to function. What is this human organism doing to the land upon which it lives? This is a question that was posed to artists by the College of St. Benedict and St. John's University Fine Arts when they made a call for artists for the Eco Byway exhibition, which is currently on display in five different galleries on the St. Ben's and St. John's campuses, which also happen to be connected by Interstate 94. I recently went out to St. John's and St. Ben's to get a preview of this art before the artist receptions this weekend on Saturday, June 25th, beginning at noon at St. John's University and continuing at 2:30 at the College of St. Benedict Galleries. So for the next half hour or so, please travel along as we reimagine this stretch of highway as an ecological corridor.
Why don't we start off and you can just tell me who you are and what your role with College St. Benedict, St. John's University is.
Well, Jeff, my name's Tracy Doreen Dietzel, and I'm the outgoing director of exhibitions. I've been here about 2 years, and I'm moving on in July. But this is the last of the exhibitions that I programmed for this season, and then there's a whole new season starting in September that I programmed, and I hope people will come out to St. Ben, St. John's. But this show was a little bit different, Eco Byway. Eco Byway is a show that's up all summer at St. Ben's and St. John's, and it's a juried exhibition, so people were invited to enter. And it would, a couple jurors from the cities came in and juried everything. But the region was what kind of set the show. So the region was the I-94 corridor. That's where the idea came from, that we were, well, if we're going to do a regional juried show, where will it be? And someone said, the I-94 corridor. So we're going to do something about the road. And then I said, well, you know, the I-94 corridor, really, it goes through seven states. It's not just Minnesota. So we decided to include all seven states and open it up and have artists who were living within 10 miles, living or working within 10 miles of I-94. So people, it didn't exclude people from other states if they were doing work near the I-94 corridor, even showing their artwork in a gallery. So we got people from Michigan, Indiana, Illinois, Wisconsin and Minnesota that entered. No one from west of Minnesota entered. But the jurors, Christine Baumler, who's an associate professor at University of Minnesota in the cities, and Peter L. Johnson, who's a working artist and has his MFA from the U of M. And they came out and juried the exhibition and also came out and selected the winners. The prizes will be awarded this Saturday, and that's June 25th. And the show's in five locations on campus. So right now we're in the Benedict Art Center in the Goretzky Gallery. And also next door is the Gallery Lounge. So the reception for the CSB part will be 2:30 to 4:30 p.m. on Saturday, and the awards at 3. But the reception actually starts over at St. John's University, and from 12 to 2 will be the reception at St. John's and the awards presented over there at 1. So if people can't get to part of it, they can get to the other. And to tell you a little bit more about what Eco Byway is about, it's really trying to showcase eco art and some really innovative work from across the region. And eco art's a little bit different. It's not just recycled things. A lot of eco art has to do with the material burden, how the earth was improved or not harmed when they created the artwork. So they're kind of really thinking about, you know, the creation of the artwork in that way. And the social impact that the artwork has, does it have any, you know, informative content that could possibly change society or reflecting on how society is being changed by art? And aesthetic recycling. So they're using recycling in a really aesthetically pleasing way and integrating these recycled resources. So the jurors were really interested in this idea of I-94, kind of re-imaged it as an ecological corridor, because that's, you know, kind of what this show became. And they mentioned in their statement that there wasn't a single criteria that could be applied to all the submissions. So they were really impressed with the, you know, the strength of the ideas and the choice of materials and technical approaches and, you know, an ability to communicate the message. So out of quite a few artists that entered, around 50 artists, they selected the number that are in the show. And I'm trying to remember the exact number. I think it's around 20 artists, but a lot more artworks that are in the show. Some artists had multiple submissions, multiple entries. And so one artist had a whole series of work that was really one entry, quite a series of photographs that I thought was strong enough to include the whole series. They also, you know, awarded based on the different criteria, the material burden, the social impact, the aesthetic recycling, those kind of. And there's one other award that people get a chance to get down here. They can participate in one other award that the jurors did not award, and that is the Audience Choice Award. So we're going to extend this until... there's two awards, one for the work at St. Ben's and one for the work at St. John's, because not everyone can get across the highway.
There you go. Part of the thing. It is open, well, right now. People can drop in.
That's right. The galleries are open in the summer, a little bit more limited hours. Over at St. Ben's, though, it's open, you know, by noon, sometimes a little earlier, like 11, and it's open until about 6 p.m. Over at St. John's, much more limited hours, and that's just 12 to 4, and weekdays. So if you can't get away and you really wanted to see the show at St. John's, you can call and make an appointment.
You know, these artists are putting some work together that, I get this feeling of it's looking at where we're at. You know, we're not necessarily in a, well, on one hand, yeah, there's the yes, we're along I-94, and there is something that we share just with this road. We don't think about it too much, but, you know, we do share this. But yet, there's a very similar thing that we're sharing, and that's you know, I'm looking at the different kinds of bubble wrap which has been created here.
You know, there's a lot of, you know, shared materials, like kind of really commonplace materials that everybody can relate to, I think. You know, bubble wrap is actually used at both campuses in some different works. And the artist that we're next to here, her work, Julie Ganser is the artist, and she lives in Madison, Wisconsin. She's got a bubble garden and pop bouquet, a couple of pieces with bubble wrap, and also the bubble garden has some pop bottle bottoms to it that really blend in, and you think they're larger bubble wrap, but they're not, and she's embedded all of these natural and synthetic plant materials inside. So there's kind of, you're kind of looking at, well, which things are real and which aren't. I really like that play of real and not real.
And then also there's just that idea of things encased in plastic, that, you know, that is something that we need to deal with as humans right now, is all this plastic that's all around. And on,
you know, on one hand, some people might get sick of people talking about recycling or the plastic or, you know, the big plastic island that's floating around in the ocean. But at the same time, well, it's there. You know, if we ignore it, somebody else has got to pick up on it. What, our kids, our grandkids, what are they going to think of us that we didn't deal with it in some form or fashion? And at least, you know, with this piece of art, we can accept that it's here. So that's, I think that's a big part of a lot of the artwork is, well, what is here that we need to accept that is here?
And Bart Vargas also has a piece in that uses all pop bottles, and he's got them connected all together through two half globes at the end of each piece that you don't see unless you look really deep inside. And I think a styrofoam piece in the middle, and they create a pill, a giant pill called the bitter pill. And people, I see it right away and know that it's one of those capsules. And so it not only, to me, refers to the whole plastic, but to pollution of pharmaceuticals, and you know, there's a lot of different references that I think people can take from. But I think it's a really interesting piece. And yeah. Bart's another artist from the Twin Cities area who just went to China. I think he's on a tour in China right now.
Yeah, and that is something that kind of echoes with all of the pieces are, well, there's that feeling of, well, we got to deal with this. What is this? You know, and that's something that I think art can do a lot. Well, the visual arts, I should say, can do that. You can look at an image and just say, well, what have we done? What are we doing still? And, you know, these are things that need to be addressed. If they're not addressed, well, they're not going to go anywhere aside from being an issue.
Well, Daniel Farnham is another artist who's doing work around Detroit, Michigan. And there's a big urban farmer movement in Detroit that people may have heard of, and a lot of artists doing work around, you know, just taking the Detroit's just the bottom fell out of the economy there quite a long time ago, and houses and land were selling for nothing, and people were just really trying to reclaim and have farms in the city, and there's just a lot of artists doing stuff with this, plus artists documenting it. And so his has a real social message to these photographs, and if you look up anything about the urban farmer movement, then you kind of know what he's doing with this stuff. And he's, you know, these are portraits in their environment in Detroit, in the urban environment, and they're reclaiming the land. There's a group from right across the St. Croix River in Hudson and around that area that submitted work as a group that Voices on the River was the title of their work, and they had created a lot of boats that they set out to float on the river. And they have some documentation of them all getting together and making these things all from the river, and then their, you know, release of the boats. So it's a really unusual group piece. I think it's the only group piece that was entered. And then, you know, one of the artists in that group also entered some work, some drawing, printmaking, and sculptural works. Some work from near Chicago came in, work from Milwaukee, another work from, I think, a student in Madison who's originally from the Chicago area, who's on the cover of the postcard that we sent out about this, called Grace Joliker. And so she's a freshman at UW in Madison and did this image of the globe. And, you know, it's a really grabbing image. And, you know, from such a young artist, it's really great to see the range of, you know, people who are professors and people who are young artists in this show. So, well, you know, I think the arts are really valued at St. Ben's and St. John's. There's four true devoted gallery spaces on the campuses. And, you know, I think the community and collaboration are really key. And for this show, we really wanted to showcase that as well. I mean, we really wanted the whole idea of it being more local and the expanse of that. You know, I think that was part of the whole idea. You know, I have to say that when we came up with this idea of having Eco Byway, first it was Eco Highway. And so on the original posters, it said Eco Highway. And then we were like, no, the highway is not eco. You know, how are people get, everything's going to come back about the road, and we really wanted to expand it. But we were trying to come up with a region that could possibly get an Onion headline. And now that I hear that the Onion is going for a Pulitzer Prize, they really should cover Eco Byway. That's my goal. By the end of the summer, if it's not mentioned in the Onion, oh, what a letdown. But no, we were having a really fun time just thinking about, you know, what kind of show to do, and something really unusual.
You're in tune to 88.1 FM KVSC and a news feature about the Eco Byway exhibition at the College of St. Benedict and St. John's University. More information on Eco Byway can be found on the College of St. Benedict, St. John's University website at www.csbsju.edu/fine arts. This is Jeff Carmack reporting, and I've been talking with Tracy Dietzel from the College of St. Benedict. And as we travel out to St. John's University to get a preview of the art out of their galleries, I'd like to bring up part of the artist statement from video artist Jason Lanka, whose video and audio piece, The Reach, although hauntingly effective as a means of describing how environmental issues really are issues that we can ignore, but they won't ignore us, the piece itself does not translate well onto radio. But as Jason says, our identity as a people and as a nation are so often defined by our place in our environment and how we view our relationship with the natural world. And many of the pieces out at the St. John's University galleries reflect our natural world.
Well, this piece looks like it has stuff growing in it.
Yes, this is Earth Pod. And Sean from the Twin Cities has this piece and a piece over at St. Ben's called Peanut, and another piece that's another pod piece in the galleries over here at St. John's, that all have kind of a nesting quality to them in a way. There's an opening inside that looks like something could be living in it, and of course there's things living in it on it on the outside. You can see, you know, it'll be here through September 10th. So the changes that go on with the growth on it, that's all. We've already had some changes with some of the newer spring stuff has died off, and then there's other plants growing.
Yeah, some grass on top, like a little mushroom sticking out the side.
A little tree.
Yeah.
And some creeping Charlie, you know, the bane of most gardener's existence, but
well, it just kind of shows life will continue and grow where it can. So that's pretty interesting, even if it's hanging off the ground.
Yeah, it's like the suspended mini earth ball.
Yeah. Nice. So what else do we have out here at St. John's? The different, well, I guess the artwork out here, it's still, I don't know, it's similar, but at the same time, there's definitely a different quality out here. It's just slightly different feel. Well,
there's some larger pieces out here at St. John's because the gallery's larger, and Kenneth Steinbach's pieces are over here where he uses the sticks and words that he spells out with the sticks, and is really trying to use phrases that are a bit confrontational. So he's got a couple of pieces. Kenneth also has a couple of works that are on some very unusual materials besides the sticks. He has used piano keys, ivory from old pianos that were no longer being used for music. Mm-hmm. And then he's also got moose antler. Heath from Madison, who's teaching at UW, has a bench that he's used recycled materials in, and people can actually sit on it. It's you know, bamboo, and it doesn't, it looks like, I'm not sure, how is that going to be comfortable? But it is. It's really a comfortable bench. Let's see who else is out here. Melissa Stang, who was a nominee for the grants, the McKnight Fellowship. She was a finalist this year for that. She's got a piece that is all made from her and her neighbor's trash, and she draws on it. It's really, if you look, you can look at it closely and see the story through it, through the drawings. Jay Eisenberg is an architect in Twin Cities, and yeah, he worked with Aaron Taylor, and they created kind of a raised topographical type map in wood from reclaimed timbers, and it has the I-94 etched into it, basically, or sawed cut into the, so you see the whole line that I-94 is.
Yeah, it's kind of, you can tell the Great Lakes are there, some of the other lakes in Minnesota. You don't see any other state lines, but then you see the road.
Right.
So,
yeah, so it really, really references the, you know, whole geographical area that the show was about, too, in a unique way. So if people want to see some very unusual materials, they're in this show. And, of course, dirt right here on Sean's piece.
Yeah, it is quite the juxtaposition. You've got very natural things, and then you've got, I guess you could say, unnatural things. And then you've got this mix of natural and unnatural, and how it kind of just blends together. And it's I don't know, it's quite stunning, actually, how this all, you know.
And I can't forget to mention Richard Bresnahan, who has three large pieces that just came out of the Johanna Kiln from this last firing. And so the clay is all local from St. John's. He fires it in this huge wood kiln, wood-fired kiln, so all the wood is just collected from around the area. And they have a whole ceremony with that, so there's a social engagement with making these works as well. And the colors that he gets on it are all from materials that would have gone to waste, like hulls from different grains, and really interesting kind of work that he's doing with the kind of the science, in a way, of what kind of colors that he'll get from these natural materials, and really incredible works in clay. So we're real pleased to have him out here. And if you haven't been over to St. John's Pottery, it's right next door. I know Richard will be here at the reception on Saturday, and my guess is that the pottery studio will probably be open. It's usually open on Saturdays.
So not only is it a reception on Saturday, but there's also awards being given as well?
Well, the awards will all be announced on Saturday, so I can't tell you who's won what. But there were five cash awards. In the categories were Most Extraordinary Aesthetic Recycling, Most Sustainable Consideration of Material Burden, Most Innovative Reuse of Materials, Most Innovative Social Impact Imagery, and Most Extraordinary Use of Natural Materials. There were also six honorable mentions, there will be one audience choice award, so I'm going to encourage people to come out and vote for your favorite, because they're all open for that, and there's two. There's going to be one at St. John's and one at St. Ben's. So the honorable mentions and the audience choice awards, we've got that the Hill Museum and Manuscript Library and the St. John's Bible Project has donated some books. The CSBSJU bookstores have donated some books. St. John's Abbey and St. John's University has donated some bread and bread mix. St. Benedict's Monastery, Whitby Gift Shop, also has donated some bread mix. And I think there's also some St. Ben's bread, that's gift certificates that have been donated, as well as the Collegeville Artisan Bakery and Thompson Greenhouses. So we've got a lot of local appreciation, kind of a little thank yous that go along with the honorable mentions, because, you know, it's not like, oh, you just get a mention, but I get a little something tangible as well. And we really want to thank all the local people who've local businesses and supporters. And all the most of the cash award came from all the entrants. You know, their entry fee went to prizes, and we added a little bit more onto that. So this wasn't like a moneymaker for us at all. It's just something to really get the word out about sustainability and things that people are doing, innovative. You know, there's a lot of, even though there's the whole kind of antiquity things that people associate with St. John's, the whole St. John's Bible is new. And then the galleries from the Fine Arts Programming Department really feature contemporary art. So if you haven't been out here to the St. John's or the St. Ben's galleries, I'd really encourage you to come out. Lots of innovative artworks all through the year. And this Saturday, June 25th, the reception starts over at St. John's, and that runs from 12 to 2, and there's awards presented at 1. There will be a little cash bar over here and lots of free eats. And over at St. Ben's Gallery, the reception runs from 2:30 to 4:30, and the St. Ben's Awards will be presented at 3. So we really encourage people to come out. And thanks to KVFC for covering this. It's great to share this work, and hope you'll spread the word. If you know, come out and visit. The show is up through September 10th. And what usually happens is people will go think, oh, I'm going to go over to that show. It's opened a couple more months. And then September 16th, they remember. Mm-hmm. And the show's gone. I've done that myself. I know, because I'm oh, I'm going to catch that show over at the MIA. And it's like, oh, no, it ended last week or it ended yesterday. So, you know, the reception's a great time to come because a lot of the artists will be here, you know, and the jurors will be here, too. So it's a great opportunity. And if you can't make it out and you'd like to make an appointment to see the work over at St. John's, do give us a call. It's even though we don't have weekend hours, we can make them. So we're happy to do that. So, and hope to see you Saturday.
Right on.
Jeff, thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you for talking with me today, Tracy.
Once again, more information on the Eco Byway exhibit and artist reception this Saturday, June 25th, can be found on the College of St. Benedict and St. John's University website at www.csbsju.edu/fine arts. Or you can give them a call at 320-363-5792. This has been Jeff Carmack reporting for KVSC on our arts and cultural heritage. And when you pause to reflect on how you are the difference you wish to see in the world, this time look around at what you're doing for our ecology. It's the land we're passing on to our kids and grandkids. This report has been funded through the Minnesota Historical and Cultural Legacy Grant and is produced by KVSC, a proud member of AMPERS, diverse radio for Minnesota's communities.
What you gonna do on the planet today? Miss yours to find the sea. And where you gonna go on the planet today?